Hey everyone, this is Jordan from SleekLens.com, and welcome to the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. And this particular podcast for this week is going to be all about real estate photography. Now, it's going to be kind of an ongoing series of things you can need to think about and get in the mindset of when you're starting in different styles of photography. Now, I was going to start out with landscape photography for this first one because that's more of a kind of generic entry point for a lot of people who are starting out in photography. But we had a listener write in an email, and her name is Alicia. And so she asked about tips for getting started in real estate photography. So that is a majority of my business that I work on the side is real estate photography. So I built up my personal business pretty good. A lot of steady business that's going on. So I'm going to give my take on getting started from zero clients to having clients that basically just do the marketing for me. So the first thing we're going to talk about is gear needed. If you've done real estate photography before, you know that you need a very minimal amount of gear. If you've done even just a couple homes, you know that the gear you really need is not the most expensive types of gear out there. If everybody that started landscape photography or started photography in general started with landscape photography, most likely you already have the gear that you would typically need for a real estate shoot. Most of the gear that goes between landscape photography and real estate photography go hand in hand. Typically with like landscape stuff, you would want a wide angle lens, a good steady tripod, and a decent camera. Not something that's like a point and shoot, obviously, but you want a decent DSLR or maybe even a mirrorless camera, and you're pretty much good to go. So typically the gear that you would need for any type of traditional real estate photography shoot is a very, very sturdy tripod. If you're going to do a technique like HDR to capture the images, you probably want to, you know, drag your tripod in there. I know it's kind of annoying. I know it can be kind of cumbersome to walk it around the house. But if you're going to do a technique like HDR to capture the images, the tripod is pretty much necessary. Next, as I mentioned, a wide angle lens, depending on what kind of camera you have. If you have a full frame camera, then you're probably looking something in the range of a 16 to 17 millimeter lens at the low end. That'll give you a really good wide angle of view. I usually get away with a 17 millimeter lens on mine, but that 1 millimeter, that 16 millimeter lens, if you can get a good price on one of those, it really helps out a lot. And you really don't have to worry about the aperture of the lens, because a lot of people, when they go out and buy a wide angle lens to do real estate photography, they kind of concentrate on the f2.8 side of it. But you really don't ever shoot at f2.8, so don't pay the extra money to get a lens that has a wider aperture. You kind of shoot around f8, f10, somewhere around there between f8 and f10, and that's pretty much where all of your shots are going to be. So kind of get the cheaper lens based on the f4 aperture, and that'll kind of get you in the right ballpark. Once you grow your photography, once you get your photography going, your business going, and you're getting a lot of clients, then you can probably move into tilt shift lenses. Tilt shift lenses are great for real estate photography because they allow you to move the camera, basically move your viewpoint to get rid of kind of converging lines. So typically with a normal wide angle lens, you're probably going to have a lot of distortion. That can be easily corrected in Lightroom or Photoshop, but you're going to have a lot of distortion, and that will a tilt shift lens usually can get rid of a lot of that in camera. So that's really helpful, but they are very expensive. So yeah, don't think about getting that type of gear right off hand. But it's something that you can build up to. And then again, just those two things, really, if you already have a nice DSLR, those two things, really, you'll probably be able to get away with. If you have a crop sensor camera, a lot of people don't think that you can get really good quality photos with a crop sensor camera. But the camera is really not the one that's making all the really nice images. The lens is actually making your really nice images. So if you have a crop sensor camera, probably you want to get a 10 millimeter lens, and those are fairly cheap as well. Sigma makes a really good one, 10-20. So that's a really good lens to have. So that's the basic gear that you need. You don't really need a lot, and you might already have that with you to get started with. So that is the basic gear. And so let's go into kind of building your portfolio. So when it comes to getting images for your portfolio, especially if you've never done a certain style of photography before, you probably don't know exactly how to get those images because you need access, especially with real estate photography, you need access to homes or nice places to build your portfolio. But the best part about this is actually you can get a lot of different images from a lot of different places. So when I first started building my portfolio, first of all, I asked people who may have had nicer homes than the one I was living in if I could come in their home and, you know, these were friends of mine, if I could come in their home and clean up their home for them, clean up their living room, clean up their kitchen, especially, clean up some areas of their home and let me stage it a little bit, and then I can take some photos of their home. When people look at your portfolio, especially real estate agents or brokers or anything like that, they're not going to look at the home that's on your website and say that, you know, that was a friend's home. It's not a real client. They're basically just looking at your work. So that's one way to kind of build your portfolio. If you happen to live in a nicer home that has a nice modern kitchen or whatever, you could probably spend a weekend cleaning your house up and you can take photos of your own home. Especially you can take photos of the outside of your home because a lot of people like to see nicer exterior shots of the home. So that's one way of doing it, is taking photos of your own home. Another way to really build up your portfolio is look at businesses that are in your area. This is another thing that I did to kind of start out with, where I would find businesses in my area and not ask them if I could shoot their building or something like that. But I would go after hours and, you know, maybe do a twilight shoot, a sunset shoot, and I would go and shoot their building for them. And then I would, you know, tag them on social media saying, here's the image for free. I just wanted to let you know that I photographed your building. And that gives you the opportunity to take the time with editing the photo, make it look as perfect as possible. And then that's another way of kind of doing outreach to get your name out there. So that's another way of doing it. Another way of doing it is actually to, you know, if you want a weekend getaway at some point, you can stay in a nicer hotel and you could photograph the interior of the hotel. You can do the rooms, you can do the lobby, you can do all of this stuff. And sure, it's not real estate photography as far as the homes go, but it's another way of building your portfolio to get your clients looking at your site. So that's another way of doing it as well. One other thing when it comes to building your portfolio, another way of doing it is actually a new kind of method that I've been thinking about, especially in my area, is Airbnb. A lot of people use Airbnb to you know, if they're out of town for some reason and they need a place to crash, you can do an Airbnb at a certain spot. But you could actually rent Airbnb in your own city, find a nicer home that's available for rent, maybe an apartment or something like that, and rent it for one night, one day, one night, and spend that whole time not messing up the place, not doing anything, not you're not spending the night in the place, but you're in the home and you're just photographing the interiors. That gives you the opportunity to set up lights if you want to. That gives you opportunity to go back and forth and play with different rooms, different settings, stuff like that. So that's another way of building your portfolio. You want to make sure you have at least, if you have a very simple portfolio, an online portfolio, you want to make sure you have at least 10 good images that you can show off. Obviously, once you start getting more jobs, you'll build that up and get, you know, galleries worth of images. But starting out, you want to at least have 10. So that gives people idea of what they're looking at. All right. So those are just a few ways of building your portfolio. So now let's go into talking about pricing. Pricing is a controversial topic when it comes to photography, and a lot of people don't know how to price their images. And it really does vary depending on your location. I could price images, a photo shoot in my area at a certain point. Let's just, for round numbers, let's say $100. I'm just going to charge $100 for a real estate shoot. But that same $100 and the same amount of time and the same amount of work in some other high-end city would probably be $400. So it just depends on where you're at. the way I came up with my personal pricing for my business was I would spend maybe a weekend and really document and like just be on Google the whole time and Google other businesses, other real estate photography businesses in my area, and kind of make a little spreadsheet about what they are charging for specific styles of real estate photography. So a lot of people will break it down as far as square footage. So if you have a 1,000 to 1,500 square foot home, they're going to charge $80. But then if you have a 3,000 square foot home, then they're going to charge $150. So they'll kind of break it down when it comes to their pricing. So what I did was I just spent a bunch of time on Google researching as many real estate photography businesses or photography businesses in general that said they shot real estate. And I just went and made a spreadsheet, and I kind of did the lower to average end of whatever it came out to be. So let's say the lowest point that a real estate agent or a real estate photographer charged in my area was $100, and the highest that they would charge for a specific shoot is $300. So I would choose to say my shoots will start around $150. And the reason I did that is because I was still working on building my portfolio. So what I would do is kind of charge the middle to low end of the spectrum there. And what I would basically do is over deliver and under promise. So what that means is I'm basically saying that, I will do these shots for you. It's going to be okay, good. And then I would deliver the best images I could possible. When you're starting out, you really don't have tons of clients knocking at your door. So you still have a little bit of time to play with the images, make them perfect, and really deliver quality images to the agents. The very first agent I ever shot for, I still get business from him years later. And so it's great that he still comes to me. And that's the reason, is because I spent time on his images and made them really perfect. So now he keeps coming back to me. So when it comes to pricing, again, there's really no set in stone number. You really have to research your area and see what other people are charging. If you want to be the high end, eventually the high end real estate photographer in your area, you can always change your prices. Changing your prices is not going to ruin a lot of things. There might be a time when you're getting too many jobs at the pricing that you're at, and that basically means that you're just too good and you're charging not enough. And so that means you will probably have to increase your prices because you're having too much business that you can't even concentrate on your stuff. So you might have to increase your prices. You might lose some agents. You might not. You might gain some more. But that should balance out, because if you lost a couple agents, you're still charging more, so that kind of makes up for it. So just because you choose your pricing now doesn't mean it has to stick. It doesn't have to be for the life of your business. You can always change your prices, and it's probably a good thing when it comes to inflation and all that stuff. So that's basic pricing, trying to figure out the pricing in your area. It just takes a lot of research. Okay, so let's talk about getting your first clients. There's really no magic pill for getting your first clients, but there are a couple things that you can do. First thing that I would definitely recommend is setting up a Google business listing for your photography business, and make sure you have the word real estate photographer or real estate photography in that business name. It's in somehow. And the reason is because you want people, typically when people search for a real estate photographer, they're just going to go to Google real quick and type in the city that you're in and say real estate photographer or something along those lines. You want to be one of the first ones that pops up in the Google business listing for your area. And typically what they do is they don't even look at your site sometimes. They'll actually just go ahead and call you directly from that business listing. I've actually found this to be the case when it comes to my personal business, where they don't even look at my images. They never clicked on my site. They just went ahead and called me directly. And then they would have me walk them through the process of what's going to happen when I go to the house and so on and so forth. So if you don't do anything else when it comes to marketing or getting your name out there, the Google business listing is probably the main thing that you need to do. So really, really build up that listing, put the hours of your business, put the photos of your business, update it with posts, even though they expire, put some posts out there to update on what's going on with your business, all that stuff. It needs to go on there. Link back to your site, obviously. It needs to go on there because that is really one of the main ways of getting a business nowadays is just that Google business listing. Another way of getting more clients is actually just to email as many real estate agents as possible. So basically, once you have your portfolio built on your website and it's ready to go, you want people to start looking at your site. Go to the grocery store, go to any kind of shop, and grab one of those real estate magazines that are usually at the entryway or exits of a grocery store that has all of the listings of what's currently available on the market. And almost every real estate agent that I can think of has their email address either in that book or on the website for their brokerage company. So they're very easy to find. You don't have to search really hard to find email addresses for real estate agents in your area. So make sure you grab all those emails and basically just email as many as you can. You're probably not going to hear back from a lot of them because it's going to be considered spam probably. But you might hear back from some, and they'll look at your site. And then when they need somebody to come photograph a home, if they're not already doing it themselves, because a lot of real estate agents actually go ahead and photograph the home with themselves with a cell phone, and it looks really, really bad. So you have to find the ones that really. That really know the value of professional photography. You're probably not gonna hear from a lot of them, but the ones that will probably keep your name handy at some point and give you a shout when they need your services. So that's one way of doing it. You could also go in and be personal. If you're a really personable person and you like dealing with people, you can always stop by a real estate office and maybe deliver donuts in the morning or something like that. And just with your business card on top of it. And say that you're available for real estate photography, maybe take an iPad or something with sample images in case they want to see them. That's another way of doing it. And just introduce yourself. Be personable. Real estate agents are usually personable as well, so they'll appreciate that personality of a person finally meeting somebody and talking with them face to face. It's really easy to ignore an email. It's not really that easy to ignore someone who's standing right in front of you asking for business. So that's another way of doing it too. And so the last thing I want to talk about is the actual business side of photography. When it comes to kind of starting your own photography business or pretty much any business in general, if you're a one man show, if you're just doing it by yourself, you are pretty much not just a photographer. You're a photographer, a marketer, an accountant, a graphic designer. You're all of these things wrapped into one because you're doing it all yourself. So I would say a lot of people struggle with this part because it seems to be that you're, 30% a photographer and 70% a business manager in a way, because once you get done with a shoot, you have to invoice people for the cost of the shoot. You have to edit the photos. You got to deliver the photos, via an online service. If people don't pay, you have to follow up with them. You have to, make sure you keep up with your social media to make sure that you're constantly getting your name out there, posting stuff on Instagram, posting stuff on Facebook as well. You have to do almost everything when it comes to that. So don't just think that it's going to be as easy as just going to a home and grabbing a couple photos and delivering them and that's it. You got to make sure you keep track of your expenses, invoicing, all that stuff. Because that's stuff that will really keep you organized as far as your business goes and make sure that you got everything that you need when it comes to, taxes and everything like that. So a lot of people do struggle with that, and that's actually why a lot of people get out of the business is because they can't handle that part of it. But if you've done photography before, if you've done portrait photography before, weddings, all that stuff, you're probably familiar with that. This will just be a small little piece that you have to add on to it if you're starting in a new style of photography. All right, guys, so that is a quick intro of what it kind of basically takes to kind of get started in real estate photography. Again, this is going to be an ongoing series. There might be a part two to this when it comes to kind of getting a little bit more advanced, but a lot of people who are just starting out really just need the basics of how to get started, some different ideas on getting your name out there. One thing I would recommend real quick when it comes to trying to get more business, more people to look at your stuff, is I wouldn't actually concentrate when it comes to social media. I wouldn't actually concentrate on Facebook a whole lot. I would really concentrate on Instagram a ton. You know, you can tag location in Instagram. You can do a bunch of hashtags. You can tag a bunch of people. So if you post a photo of a home that you may have taken a photo of, tag a bunch of agents in your area. Just find them in your area and tag them in the photo, and that will get them looking at your stuff. So that's another way of really, really just being a marketing machine when it comes to trying to get people to look at your stuff. So that's a really quick tip on getting your stuff out there. Again, if you've done real estate photography before, or if you've done any type of photography before and you've shared it on social, you know how to do all that stuff anyway. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast. We'll probably do a lot more of these if they're pretty popular. But again, we're just covering the basics of what you need to get started in different styles of photography, and it's going to be really fun. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's episode. This has been Jordan from Sleek Lens, and I'll see you in the next podcast.